time for Live and Direct, thanks to NZ On Air Music. Good God!
Don McGlashan has become kind of woven into the fabric of our country. Along with the bounty of tracks from his solo career, Don has made music with acts like From Scratch, Blam Blam Blam, The Mutton Birds, The Front Lawn, and he's also scored many works for theatre, dance, television and film. He's currently halfway through a very thorough tour of New Zealand, maybe a little bit more than half, and performing on Friday night at the Hollywood Cinema. Don, welcome.
Thank you.
So lovely to have you. Before we kick in, Tom, I might just get you to close the door if you could. Sorry, just putting on the headphones, I can hear the students in shadows.
Oh, I thought that was ambience.
Well, it's a type. It's like a type of ambience, that's for sure. Yeah. I think it's around now, like the DJ at Shadows loves to DJ like just the choruses of songs into the so it's about now that they start getting real rowdy. But we've closed the door. I'm going to turn my mic off. Don's going to play a couple songs, and then we will have a chat whenever you'd like.
Love.
fish in the sea. Splinters in my hands from climbing a tree. To the place that you said was so easy to get to, but you were much older. You never thought I could get such a long way up, but I looked straight ahead. Silver blue the sea like sheets on a bed. At the edge of the world, a ferry boat crawls away like a snail, leaving it all to me. I feel the branches move around me. I see the thistles along the boundary. Shell or rock on a beach that I couldn't reach, and I feel the branches move around me. I see the thistles along the boundary. Waves and waves of grass are breaking, rolling over to me. And the sky's like a wheel, and I feel branches move around me. I see the thistles along the boundary.
Listening to 95BFM, Don McGlashan performing live in studio. Don, that was fantastic.
Oh, cool. Thank you.
Made my glasses shatter in two. what were the name of those two tracks, Don?
The first one was Like This Train. So that's like a Mutton Birds track from just when we went to Britain. So just at the that was the first one that we demoed for Virgin Records, and that's kind of what made them sign us, which is because we did it in a little studio in Islington, and played this guitar, actually, I just realised. It was all done on this guitar. And then the second one was Along the Boundary, which turned up in the middle of making our third album, which was after we'd been in England for a year.
What kind of guitar are you playing?
It's a mail order guitar called a Harmony. It's from the 1930s, and it was you know, there was these big department stores that had a mail order system, and Sears Roebuck had a kind of guitar that they sent out to people. And I think this is the one from Montgomery Ward. So it's like a super cheap guitar, but it means it's like nearly 100 years old.
How do you find yourself coming across a guitar like that?
Well, the Mutton Birds are on. We were on tour in New Zealand, and we were in Christchurch, and I went into a secondhand shop, and like a musician, I think an Irish traditional musician had just come in and traded this in on something, or sold it to buy food or something.
My gosh,
that was
what a find.
I was very lucky.
I mean, you've mentioned Mutton Birds, and I was wondering, you know, as somebody with kind of the collection of work that you've made over the years, kind of how do you pick and choose for your live concerts which ones you want to play?
It's hard, and I think in the past I've just tried to make something that flows really well. I'm trying to make a set that I would want to listen to. Like I said, if I was in the audience, I just want to, you know, in terms of energy, and mixing up familiar things with newer things. But with this tour, I didn't start from that place at all. I went kind of influenced by the tour I did with Shankara, where we kind of shone a torch into each other's attic somewhat. And the stuff that came out, it was really interesting because initially there were songs that he chose of mine, and I was like, oh, you know, that's not that good, you know. He's taking the piss, you know. he wants his songs to sound better than mine, so he's picking all the bad ones. But actually, it wasn't like that at all. You have to invest a bit in the song, especially one that you've discarded, especially one that you haven't played much live. You have to invest a bit in it, and if with luck, you'll learn stuff about the songs. And so this tour through New Zealand, I just decided, what haven't I played much? What would I really love to play? What do I want to share with people? And then I just put that into a set and sort of, you know, threw it up in the air and sort of saw what happened. And then also in the middle of the set, I've been encouraging people to yell out requests.
Yeah.
And I don't do them all because some people are just showing off. You know, they're singing out the name of the most obscure song. You know, the B-side that never even got recorded or something. Yeah. You know, but it's made for some really, really fun shows. You know, the shows that sort of go in all kinds of crazy directions. There's one show where I came off stage and Tom and Malcolm, which is the other people on the tour, sort of said, "Did you know that was 2 hours long? Did you mean it to be like that?" Mm-hmm. I didn't. So.
And how has touring the smaller parts of New Zealand been?
It's been great. It's
because not many people can go to like Rangiora and pull a crowd, you know.
I don't. Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm so lucky that when I started making music in New Zealand, lots of New Zealand stuff was played on the radio, and there's a bunch of songs out there that people know, and I've kept doing it, but I don't think the audiences are that different. I mean, I wouldn't go into a show in Barrytown with a different set list. Or, you know, to try to, you know, play more familiar stuff or something. I think everybody's into being challenged, you know.
As you say, you know, you've kept doing it. I was wondering, where do you think your sense of work ethic has come from?
When I was here at Auckland Uni, when I was like 18, I joined From Scratch, and Phil Dadson, I found him super inspiring because he just gets up in the morning and starts work and is just continually working on the business of filtering the world through his craft, and it was so inspiring. And I think after being in From Scratch for a while, I kind of realized I always thought what I wanted to do was just to write songs, but it took me a while to sort of settle down and do that. And then The Front Lawn came along, which wasn't just about writing songs. It was about telling stories and sort of creating situations and characters. But there were lots of songs within those shows, and Harry and I were just so intent on getting the stuff out there and making it as good as it could be. That we, I think, we had a good work ethic. I mean, I think he came to it with a good work ethic, and I sort of learnt mine from Phil. Mm. And when we put those two together, we really egged each other on, and so we worked really hard, and it didn't feel like work. We'd just be driving around in a car or a van, touring the country, arguing about, you know, why do you get up in front of people? Why do you tell stories to people? Why do you write songs? You know,
did you have answers to those questions at the time?
Or not then.
Do you have them now?
Yeah, I do. I do. I think that. I mean, this sounds cosmic, but I think we need. I think you need artists, people who write songs, write novels, dances, paint paintings. I think as people, we need people in our community, just in the same way that we need people that grow food for us, because they notice the things that we're too busy to notice. They remind us that we're alive.
I feel like because music is kind of everywhere now and very readily available, that maybe the value of it has dropped somewhat.
I don't know. It's interesting.
I just wonder, you know, New Zealand music was... I remember when I was a teenager, and maybe it was just retrospective nostalgia, but in that kind of early noughties period, it seemed like New Zealand was behind its musicians. And there had been periods before that as well.
Yeah.
And maybe more so than what they are now.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I haven't seen that. I continue to get people coming up to me and giving me the best compliment that you can give, which is your song got me through a hard time, or you know, I've lived with this. This is my driving record, and I make the same drive every day, and I listen to it every day. But and there's more music out touring, and I see people walking along the street with their Walkmans on, and I wonder what they're listening to, and the optimist in me imagines that they're listening to stuff from this place. I could be wrong about that. Yeah. I don't go up and and tap them on the shoulder and ask them what they're listening to.
Not quite. Two things. One, my girlfriend's father. Funny you mentioned driving albums, because He drives to Lucky Stars quite a bit.
Cool.
And also, if we could maybe just quickly round back to Phil. Phil recently came into Flying Out with some kind of retrospective of his work put out by a Japanese label.
Yeah.
And we were just talking before about how the vinyl version of Lucky Stars is your first vinyl record in about three decades. Has the topic of maybe some kind of retrospective or reissuing your back catalogue kind of come about? Or is that something that you're interested in? Or?
Yeah, I'm interested in it. I just can never work out how to do it. I mean, I have these grandiose schemes of doing like a double release of something where one half of it is the original versions,
yep,
and another half of it is how I would do them now.
Cool.
Because I've never stopped playing the stuff, and it's changed. It's morphed over time, and like Mutton Bird stuff sounds more kind of sort of strange and kitchen sinky and acoustic than it did with the band. And Blam 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 stuff gets played. You know, I play it in my solo set and in the gigs I do with Chris O'Connor. So I would I think I'd be. I'd probably get bored listening to a whole record of all the original versions, even though I love them. But I've got an ongoing relationship with those songs, and I'd like to do it that way. But I think some people have done that. I'm not sure if it's a good idea. It just makes a big bulky thing to carry home.
I'm glad you mentioned Chris O'Connor as well. An incredible drummer and percussionist.
Yeah, he's wonderful.
How did that come to be, and what do you admire about Chris's playing?
Oh, he is he's the most purely musical human I know, and like when I joined From Scratch, it does relate to From Scratch because he's in that group now. But there was just this amazing, I mean, I had been a kid that was interested in rhythms and interested in cross rhythms and how how the world was based on proportions and numbers and You know, and the music expresses that. So the idea that the world is sort of vibrating and making music, and all you have to do is sort of tap into it. And Chris sort of lives that. Mm. He's just the most deep. You know, he's got really deep roots into musical history and the sort of studies he's doing. Go far beyond drumming, you know, and he's a wonderful guy to work with. So he's playing with me Friday night.
Friday.
And Sean Donnelly put his hand up and said, "Can I play too?" So we've got a three piece, pretty much.
Oh my gosh!
And at the end of the set, Anthony Tynan's going to play a few songs. So we'll be a rock and roll band.
That's fantastic. I was thinking about Sean the other day as well. His album Dayglow Spectres turns 10 on Saturday.
Wow.
Fantastic release. I guess before we crack into the final song, how do you stay creative? How does it keep ticking over? Is it something that you work at? Is it something that is always there?
I can't do anything else now. I've been doing this for too long, and that's a sort of easy answer. I love what I do, and I'm kind of, when I get a bit lost, I sometimes imagine all of my heroes in New Zealand music around me. For some reason, it's the New Zealand ones. The room is not big enough to let Bob Dylan and Nick Cave and people like that, and I would be too intimidated by them anyway. So I imagine Martin Phillips and Graham Downs and Chris Knox and Julia Deans and the young ones, Nadia Reid, Tiny Ruins. I imagine them standing there going, "Go on, you know, keep writing it. You can make it better. What's wrong with that second verse? Can you make that better? Who's singing this song anyway?" You know, and that sustains me. And I find it quite joyful. I find in that moment, that sort of imagining all of us working together on something, I feel quite a lot of joy in that.
Very good. We've got one more song, Dom. What's it going to be?
It's going to be out of tune. let me just try. I've got a tuner that's on its last legs. I might have to be old school and just do it by ear. What a shocking thought.
While Dom's tuning, maybe you're one of those lucky people who got a ticket to the show on Friday night. If you are, enjoy. We've got, both Ben and myself are filming this, and we'll have clips of it up soon. The audio will be up tomorrow.
Yeah, it's an old guitar. We already yeah. talked about that, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
And it's a warm room as well. We've got lots of lights on.
I think that's good enough.
Cool. Thank you.
This is called "The Waves Would Roll On." This is from Lucky Stars.
Far out to sea, where the winds blow strong, past all that is known, past the point of no return. If I should vanish, if I was gone, the waves would roll on, the waves would roll on. Nothing to guide me, no star in the sky, no seabird behind to wheel and to cry. If I should vanish, if I was gone, waves would roll on, the waves would roll on, roll on as deep as deep. Nothing to guide me, no star in the sky, no seabirds behind to wheel and to cry. If I should vanish, if my story would roll on, waves would roll on, waves would roll on, waves would roll on, waves would roll on.
That was Live and Direct, thanks to NZ On Air Music.